Now we're at the third stage. The third stage is what's called mature friendship. So we've gone to the state of basic friendship, just trying to avoid hell and do good so that way we can get a good reward and, you know, all of these type of things. And fear of the Lord. Second stage is an active life of friendship. Now a personal relationship with God has developed. And we have reverence and love for the things of God. And now there's a mature friendship in the third stage. And this mature friendship means now our spiritual life is well regulated. It's well ordered. We've been around the block spiritually a bit to know where the pitfalls are and to understand a few things and to know what it means to stay on track. And we've learned a lot along the way. Spiritual foundations have been laid by the third stage. The practice of discipline, what the classical tradition calls mortification and penance. The desire to learn and grow in the things of God, especially prayer and meditation. And also an active life of charity. You know, one is involved in some kind of service, some kind of giving of ourselves. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, formally at the parish as a catechist or lector, Eucharistic minister, or things like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, but there's some kind of gift of giving of myself on a regular basis. It acknowledges prayer now, not simply as one of petition when in need, not for one's own consolation, but prayer becomes a daily necessity for the battle of life. Prayer becomes the bread and butter of who we are on a daily basis. There's a renewed vigor. A renewed vigor means, in this case, initiatives and longing of the soul. In other words, by this time, attendance at Sunday Mass is no longer enough, but daily Mass becomes almost a necessity. We desire to attend prayer groups, retreats, days of recollection, consecration, and consecrating our lives to God in a renewed way becomes very important. Not only want to turn to the heart of God in need, but want to belong and be united and bound to the heart of God. And for this reason, in this stage of the third mansion is when people start to seek to belong to groups like OCDS, the Third Order, confraternities, that kind of thing. And it's from this state where religious vocations and holy marriages come from. Some of these thoughts are collected, not verbatim, but collected from Father Wagner. Father Wagner is a part of Opus Angelorum. And especially here with this mature friendship, a well-regulated spiritual life means a good moral life. One is consciously, carefully avoiding sin, not only mortal sin, of course, but including venial sin. One is actively, conscientiously putting one's best foot forward in avoiding venial sin as well. We become very aware of venial sin, and it becomes very important for us to avoid venial sin. On the other side of the proverbial coin now, that was the positive. Wah-ah-ah. Now the other side, the predominant faults of people in the third mansion are hidden in the sight of others. People don't see the main faults of people in the third mansion. It's not, you know, there's obviously not committing sin, you're not living a double life, it's not by deliberate actions. But the predominant faults are mostly in the thought life of the person. In the thought life. What's that look like? Criticizing others. Being very harsh in our judgment of other people. Easily scandalized by other people's faults when they're not as holy as you would expect or want them to be. Become easily scrupulous about oftentimes about spiritual things. Complaining. Maybe getting grumpy again. Here's a favorite one of many from St. John of the Cross, spiritual gluttony. Spiritual gluttony, that can be understood in different ways. I don't remember exactly how St. John describes it, but to describe it in terms that are probably more familiar to us is I no longer have an addiction to shopping for fashion, but I have an addiction to shopping for rosaries and Catholic books and Catholic movies. And, it's never enough. I always have to have the next best picture of Our Blessed Mother. And then my house is full of statues because I just can never have enough. I mean, it's just spiritual gluttony. I mean, it's, always wanting to collect and have these sense consolations. Also in this stage could be gossip. And gossip is a tricky thing because it's such a slippery slope. For example, I could start off being something very pious. Oh, let's pray for this person. Let me tell you why we need to pray for this person. And you go way more into detail than you need to, and without intending to, because of the going back and forth, it can easily spiral away into gossip more than it is concern for the soul. It's a very slippery slope. I don't think there's any fine line of exact. Well, one of the practical boundary and check and checking ourselves, making sure we don't slip into that, is would I say this in his presence? Would I say this if they were right behind me? Would I say this if this was being recorded and he would hear it or she would hear it? That's always a good test in regards to watching what we say. Another fault, again, here is jealous of other people's spiritual gifts. Subtly seeking ambition. Wanting to be the formation director, wanting to be on the council, wanting these positions of whatever, authority, prestige, whatever. It's not that those are bad, but it's the, like St. John of the Cross would say, it's the desire for them. When we want them, that's not a good sign. It should be best as someone that somebody else sees has the qualities and gifts and somebody else chooses. One of the remedies to get us out of this kind of mental knots and different things is to remember it's not all about you. It's not all about you. We can easily get stuck in ourselves. And here's a good one. Because the soul in the third mansion has not yet experienced the supernatural force of love. This is still a natural spirituality. I mean, it's growing, it's mature, it's found, it has foundations, but you haven't. A person hasn't entered yet into more of the supernatural infused gifts of God's grace. And as a result, because the supernatural force of love has not yet been experienced, its love, as a Christian, its love and its response to God's Spirit is governed by an often too human prudence. Too human prudence that limits its growth to what can be understood or measured by natural reason alone or common sense. This is a huge one for everybody. Priests are definitely no exception. If a person is dominant by so much about, especially if they become, because in this stage, third mansion especially, you know what the big temptation is in the third mansion? Phariseeism. Becoming very Pharisaical. Doing all the right things for the wrong reasons. It becomes more about you than it becomes about God. And when the ego gets involved in selfish ambition and jealousy, that's when you get all this drama in prayer groups and all these conflicts in parishes and all the and just the chaotic stuff that happens in the parish staff and all the difficulties and soap opera that can erupt. Christians are human beings just like non-believers, anybody else. A big part of the third mansion in this Phariseeism can be one's own being attached to one's own agenda and not even know it, maybe. One is very, that ambition, the agenda of one's own will in the name of doing it for God, but it ultimately comes down to just doing one's own will. Big stuff. And part of that stronghold of the egoism, the personal agenda, and my will, and my way of seeing things, and my way of understanding the doctrine of the faith and the tradition of the faith, one could become very legalistic. Very legalistic and ultra-conservative in a way that can limit growth, like the Pharisees. But this too human prudence shows itself in many ways. And for that reason, because it's governed by a too human prudence, I mean, prudence is one of the cardinal virtues. After humility, it's the most important virtue that bridges humility and love. Humility and love are the most important virtues. Humility is the root, love is the fruit, and the stem is prudence, a proper understanding of how to apply the truths of God, to respond to the will of God, a proper understanding of how to respond to God's grace. That's prudence. That's very, very important. But what can happen is that when it becomes too earthbound, too human, too much of natural reason left to itself and not enlightened by supernatural faith and what God reveals about himself and the radical, paradoxical nature of the gospel, when there's begins to be, because at this stage of the third mansion, one can become so accustomed to the things of God that one could lose one's original fervor for things like sacrifice and penance and fervent prayer. And as a result, we can have all the external trimmings but lack the fire and be going through the motions on another level. This is always a danger for anybody, for all of us. And as a result of that, we can have positions of authority like priests and bishops, a lot of different things. And this too natural, this too human prudence can get in the way of God's will. It can get in the way of the gospel. Because we can explain the gospel away when it's bound too much by a natural perspective of what is quote-unquote prudent.